Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, somebody needs to hear that in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your storm, it's your faith. Yes, it's your faith that will help see you through. Work your faith, people. Work your faith.
My brothers and sisters, bring your problems to the altar
and
leave your burdens there.
No,
all your troubles,
God is able.
God is able.
That's all you gotta do. Work your faith. Listen,
friends and neighbors,
doesn't matter
how you falter.
Grab a hold of God's
stretch hands.
Oh,
he's a wonder
in my soul.
He never sleeps or slumbers.
Call us anytime you want.
To the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Shalene Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network. And I'd like to welcome you to Gap Ministries Bible Study for this Thursday, August the 19th, 2021. And now, here is your anointed host and facilitator, Apostle Jaylion Travis. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Bishop Shirlene Cook. Thank you and the entire Spirit Alive Network family. I'd like to thank God for the opportunity and the blessing of us being connected as sisters, co-laborers, and you being the overseer for Gap Ministries. You share your wisdom, not only the time with the network, but, you know, conversations, talk, your love for us and our families and covering. And I want to take time and thank everyone for calling in and for listening in on tonight. And I just want to just, before we get started, just to open up in prayer, if that's okay with everyone. Father God, in the name of the resurrected Jesus, we thank you and we come before you to give you praise. We give you glory and we give you honor. Father, for each and every blessing, for everything that you ordained and purposed us for, we thank you, Father God, for just the thought of you even wanting to have us in the earth to do your will, for you trusting us. And we ask, Father God, that you would teach us your will, your way, and your word. And we thank you, Father, for the blessing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blessing of salvation, healing, and deliverance. We thank you for favor, grace, and mercy. And we thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way in this sermon, in our lives daily, each and every day of our lives, even with our families, our friends, and our children and grandchildren. And those who are unfortunate, Father God, we're asking that you would go in and that you would send help from on high, Father. We thank you, Father God, for this word that you're bringing tonight. We're going to talk about the strongholds and holding strong. And we're going to come back to what you're asking us to do in this season, as according to the book of 2 Chronicles 7, verse 13 through 16. Father, I thank you from the midst, from the bottom, from the depth of my heart, for your love and your grace and your mercy, and for your continued faithfulness. Teach us your will, your way, and your word, and let every heart be tender and pliable to your word. Let your word be received in our hearts, take root in our hearts, and let us have the anointing, the zeal, and the obedience to walk in holiness, righteousness, and in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, tonight, everyone, we're going to do what we always do, but I got a feeling that the Holy Ghost is just going to move so quickly in this. But my prayer is that ignite a fire, ignite the start switch. I honestly believe that at some point in times in our life, with all the distraction, everything that's going on in our lives, there is something that has turned off our start switch. There is something that's holding us back, some things that have us anchored in areas that we should have been loose from, some things that is protecting us, and we're trying to break away from the protection. So what we got to do right now is to focus on the things of God. We have to seek him in everything, in every way, to know exactly what it is that we have to do. Because, you know, there is a scripture that says, to everything there is a season, a time, and a place, and a purpose under the sun. And we have to always make sure that we're in that time and season, because it's not just one season. We live in four seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall. Due season, overdue season, right now season, and not yet season. But we have got to get things into perspective to do what we need to do with God. Tonight we're going to talk about strongholds, and we're going to also go from strongholds to holding strong. Is it a stronghold that's protecting you, or are you holding strong to get out and do what it is that you want to do? The first thing I want to talk about with strongholds is what they really mean. You know, strongholds actually is a place of – it's a defensive structure when it's in God's protection. And you can find that in Psalms 9 and 9. It talks about how God keep us encompassed in his will and his way and his word. Also, you know, strongholds can be not only a defense structure, but it can also be a place that has been fortified, you know, so as to protect against attacks. It could also be a place where a particular cause or belief is strongly defended or upheld. I want you to remember that second one. A place where a particular cause or belief is strongly defended or upheld. And also there's one that says that a place where a group having certain views, habits, attitudes that's been conformed or concentrated, or meaning built up to do a particular thing, to either bring in or to prevent, to keep it from going out. So that's how we're going to come from strongholds, or are you holding strong? So we're going to take the first scripture, and we're going to go to one of the most familiar scriptures in the book of Ephesians 6, that 12th verse. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, that means in high places, if you look at the structure of a stronghold, it is set above, and it's set in high places. But there's also a scripture that says that we're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that's what we have to do, because if something is holding strong, no, I want to go to the stronghold first from God's perspective. God places us in a position when we're in his will, when we're in the purpose of God, doing the will and the purpose of God, and when we're doing exactly what it is that he wants us to do, there's a protection, a hedge of protection. That's a stronghold. That's a place that's been fortified to keep us protected. It means like it's a defensive structure that God is using to protect his purpose in you, his will in the earth, and his plan. And if you go over to Psalms 9 and 9, it'll tell you this, that it says, let me get there real quick, Psalms 9 and 9. It says that the Lord would be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in the time of trouble. And the thing of it is that some people become oppressed by situations and circumstances that they can either be held back by a demonic stronghold, or they're holding strong out of rebellion and disobedience. And see, tonight's study is going to be, are you holding strong, or is it that you're just blocked by a stronghold? Now, you know, you will tell if it's a stronghold from God, because that's a place of protection. That's a place of covering. It talks about in the book of Samuel how Samuel, 1 Samuel 23 and 14, how God is doing the stronghold with King David, which he was, you know, he was fighting at that time. He was the warrior David, where he stayed in the desert, and the strongholds in the hills of the desert of Ziph. What it was doing was he was in a hiding place, but it was a constructed place of protection. So those are strongholds that are built and fortified to protect and cover. But the enemy will come in and build strongholds in your life by using the things of this world. He will take you from a place. He can, you know, it, sometimes when you're in a place, say like back in the days where they had the cowboys and the soldiers and the Native Americans, and they would build these fortresses. As long as they were behind the walls of the fortress, the fort, they were safe. But if they went out, they can be attacked or murdered or killed. And that's how it is. If God has you behind the walls of a stronghold, if he has you covered or encompassed, you know, with the stronghold of defense, of holiness, of righteousness, of shield, of protection, making that his fortress, his high tower, then you're safe. But if you step out of the will of God, you step into the stronghold of Satan. If you step out of the will of God, you step into a stronghold of Satan. 2 Corinthians 10 and 35 talks about that. You can take your time and go to that book and see exactly what it is that God is talking about in 2 Corinthians. What I was reading the other day was what he said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." That means that the demonic stronghold has gotten above you, and it's a lot of times The demonic stronghold is in the family. It's a curse upon the bloodline, or it's a curse upon the city, or a curse upon the community. It could be based on drug infestation. It could be based on homelessness and poverty. It could be based on witchcraft. It could be based on occultism. It could be based on something that we don't even want to hear, your disobedience and your rebellion, your love for money, your love for fame, your love for fortune, your love, your idolatry. That can become a form of stronghold. And the thing of it is, God wants you to, like he gave you, like he said in his word in verse 4, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, he said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And you have to do in verse 5, it said casting down the main imagination. But there's one version that said vain imaginations. The vain imaginations is when you think that anything but what God wants for you is better for you. And that becomes not only an idol, but that becomes a stronghold. It's like if you turn to the politicians, yeah, I'm going to go there. If you turn to the politicians for your answers for everything, that becomes a stronghold, because if they tell you to do this, you're going to say, well, they're saying to do this. I'm not telling you to disobey the law of the land, but I'm telling you to stay in the stronghold and the defense and the fortress of God versus the demonic stronghold that Satan is trying to put above you. Now, God has you inside the stronghold, but Satan has a stronghold above you where he wants to suppress and oppress you. And that's when the stronghold becomes so strong in you, you become so familiar with it that not only does it be it goes from being a stronghold till it become you holding strong. Because, you know, God does provide a means of escape for all of us. He gives us that grace. You know, he gives us that opening. He gives us that way out. But if we don't want that way out, some people have that, Bishop, they have that revolving door mentality. They will go out and they will come right back into the same thing. They will leave Egypt and they'll come back. They'll keep looking back because they're so comfortable with the taskmasters, with what Satan has dangled in their faces. At least when I was there with dude, I had a roof over my head. We had the best of this and we had the best of that. Now I'm living in a one-bedroom house opposed to a five-bedroom mansion. But in that five-bedroom mansion, you were oppressed, you were abused, you were mistreated, you were cursed out, you were cheated on, you had to do this, that, and the other, you were controlled, you were manipulated. Those are strongholds. But if you keep looking back to those things that God has given you a way out, then it's not so much as that you don't want it. You prefer to have that more than you want the freedom. See, sometimes your freedom becomes your taskmaster because you feel like you're free to do anything that you want to do. So that's where the vain imagination comes. You got to cast that down in order for the stronghold not to hold you and not for you to reach out and hold strong to it. Some people can let go of one thing, but they have it in their other hand because they want to hold on to something. They want to just look at Lot's wife. I honestly believe when she left Sodom and Gomorrah, there was something that was still holding strong to her because she had to look back to see what she may be missing. And sometimes when you're looking back at the thing that you're holding strong to, it will cost you not only your life, but it's going to cost you your inheritance. It's going to cost you everything because now there's no record of her, you know, no marker anywhere, no grave, because she turned into a pillar of salt and she just disintegrated. You don't want your purpose to disintegrate like that. God needs each and every one of us to stand strong and to hold strong to his will in the earth, not hold strong to the things of Satan, not to the things of vanity, not to the things where we feel like we have to have money over a message. We've got to take time and go shopping before we can go to church on Sundays or before we can attend Bible study. And God has made this thing so easy for us now. We can get on Bible study on our phones, on YouTube. We can get on Bible study on the television at home. We can get on Bible study, yes, at church. You can have your group sessions at your house. Or just like sometimes me and my neighbors, we get out in the patio area and we, you know, some of us, we just talk about the word. You know, it always go there.
because we're holding strong to the will of God. We're holding strong to the word of God. I'm not going to take what God give me and step out of his will and with him protecting me and step into a stronghold and be oppressed and suppressed by Satan. Because once he keeps you under that, you holding strong to that stronghold, then that's where you become dangerously and deadly anchored into what Satan has for you, and it's hard to get loose of. But you have to have a made-up mind. But if you have vain imaginations, you don't have a made-up mind. You have something that's not real because you have what you call a fantasy life. You feel like the things of the world, I'd rather have a big house than to go to heaven. No, I'd rather go to heaven because Jesus already got my place ready for me. You know, I like nice houses. I have a nice house now. But guess what? If it came down to my soul and me doing anything that the world wants me to do to have a big house, a nice house, and ride around in a big, nice, luxury car, guess what? I would take the bus. I would walk. I would live so-and-so, where I got it. But I'm not going to trade how God is protecting me, how he is keeping me in his fortress to come out of his protection and then have a stronghold over me. And then I start getting so used to it that it's no longer Satan can back up and rest and go on to the next one because he got me simply because it's not him holding strong to me. Now I'm clinging to him. I'm holding strong to him because some of us don't have strongholds over us, Bishop. Some of us are holding strong. Some people don't want the deliverance because it requires work. Some people don't want the holiness. I mean, they don't want to be set free because it requires holiness. It requires change. It requires doing what's right. It requires studying. It requires prayer. It requires fasting. And it requires you to hear God, seek God, to obey God, to want God. You have to want him more than you want anything else. There is nothing under the sun that God can't deliver us from. But God will not deliver you from something that you don't want him to deliver you from. He will not force himself upon you and go and say, well, I'm going to take them because I feel like they're holding too strong. If you want to hold strong, guess what God's going to do? That free will he gave you, he's going to let you have that free will. But it's going to come a time, and there will come a day where you're going to want to leave, bro. You want to leave that dude. You're going to want to leave that woman, that person that keeps cheating on you, that person that keeps beating you. You're going to want to leave that place where in Lodabar where you don't have this and you don't have that and you're scuffling. You're going to want to leave that joint alone. You're going to want to leave that crack and that cocaine. You're going to want to turn from that crystal meth. You're going to want to do that because everybody has that means of escape because God provides it. He's going to give you that time where there's going to be clarity, where you're going to know that the difference from God holding you strong, you know, within the fortress of his protection, than the enemy suppressing you from a stronghold from above that's going to keep putting weight upon you, weight upon weight. And then if something is heavy on you, it's going to eventually bury you. Once you're buried, if you're not a planted seed of God, you're going to die. Then the thing of it is, every seed has to die in order to bloom. But when it's a demonic seed, it's going to die because once Satan finishes with you, that's it. You're in hell, and that's the greatest stronghold because there are no exits. There's no means of escape from that. And the thing of it is, all I'm asking you on tonight is to cast down the vain imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that puts itself above God is a stronghold. It's a demonic stronghold. And anything that you put before God that you feel that you got to have more, it could be food. It could be something as simple as food. It could be something as simply as working 4 and 5 jobs. You're not trusting God enough to provide for you. Why? Because you don't feel like you need to tithe. You don't feel like you need to sow seed. But guess what? Every tithe and seed that's sown, God multiplies. Good measure pressed down, shaking together and running over. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. But what is a stronghold? Are you holding strong to the world, saying, I don't want to give this money. I'd rather go out and buy a dress or a pair of pants or some shoes? Or would you rather go and you bring all the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse? Holy Ghost, I don't know, that had to come from you. But the thing of it is what is it that you're holding strong to, anything that you're exalting against the knowledge of God, the will of God? And you have to take that thing and bring it under to captivity because the word says in the book of Genesis in that first chapter, God told us to be fruitful, multiply, to have dominion, but he also said to subdue. That means you got to take it under control. You got to cast that thing out because he's given us authority. He's given us power through Christ Jesus, through the redemption of the shedding of his blood. When Jesus arose, he said, I have all power over heaven and earth. And then he said, greater works that we will do in the earth than he has done. When Jesus told Satan to get thee behind me, you should be able to do the same thing. The Holy Ghost came. And he brings all things to our remembrance. But Bishop and I were having a precursor conversation. She said discernment. He gives us discernment. So that's that means of escape. It lets you know that, hey, this is a stronghold. Now you're becoming to a point where you're holding strong. Hey, we need to get rid of this. You need to either dwell in the secret place of the Most High, of God's almighty wings and his shadow. And the thing of it is, if you choose to do that, there's nothing that can penetrate the stronghold of God. But if you step out of the will of God and step into the world because of your vain imaginations or your hidden agendas or the things that you feel like you want to put above God, oh, I'm going to be rich, I'm going to be famous. I see so many posts on Facebook, and I have tested it. If I put something up about money coming, I have over 1,000 hits, Bishop. But if I put something up about the Lord God says, 2 Chronicles, chapter, verse 13 through 16, I may have 20. I may have 15, and I may have 5. Sometimes I feel like Abraham when he was talking to the angels about Sodom and Gomorrah. What if you find 100 there? What if you find 50 there? What if you find 25 there? What if you find 10 or 30? If you find 5, but if God said if he had found 5, he would not destroy the place. God is looking for us to loose from these strongholds, to stop holding strong. He's looking for us to turn from our wicked way. There is too much going on in this earth, and part of it is caused by our disobedience. Part of it is caused by our vain imagination because we've made those the strongholds that we hold to. Now, we'd rather hold on to the strongholds of the world, but we don't want to hold and stay strong and hold strong to the word of God. We don't want to hold strong to the will of God. We don't want to hold strong to the prayers and the fasting that's required of us. There are so many scriptures in this book that talks about God having strongholds. Psalms 144 in verse 2, it talks about it. And when I looked, I was just doing a whole lot of studying. Like I said, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. Of course, Ephesians 6. You can go 13 through 18. You can also do 1 John 4 and 1. And the thing of it is that there are so many things that God provides us to be able to deal with the strongholds. He give us, let me see, what I was praying. It was about, it had to deal with 7 spiritual warfare prayers. One was in the book of Isaiah, and everybody knows this one, Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me, shall be condemned. That's something that you can speak every day that will prevent those strong demonic strongholds, because again, there are 2 different kinds. There's a stronghold that God provides for us, which is a place that has been fortified, to protect us against attack. The enemy attacks us every moment of the day, 24/7, 365, from the day you're born to the day you die. So from birth to death, there is no in-between like that dash. He don't take a break from you. Now, the Bible even said that when Jesus dealt with the enemy in the wilderness, the word says that he left him for a season. So even if you think that you're never immune from the attack of Satan, let's put it like that. He is always going to come back to see how he can get in. So if God has you covered behind that and fortified where you can be in his grasp, in his, in his protection, under his covering, under his wing, under his shadow, then the enemy is going to sit outside and wait. He's going to see what he can do. That's too good to let go. I got to have that, because you got to think about it. He hates what's right, and we should hate what's evil. But the world that we live in loves evil. We have gotten to the time. It's not coming to the time. We are in the times where they call it right wrong and wrong right. The world is holding strong. And the world loves the strongholds of the demonic realm. They love putting women with women on television so the children can see it. They love telling people that you can change your gender whenever you want to. And now they're trying to say children can do it. But I guess what? I came to tell you this here today, that when you stand before God, you're going to stand before God. That's the way he created you. You may be able to change something, but whatever God created you to be, that's what you're going to be to him. So there's no changing from that. And that's people holding strong. I got one person that I know that we're praying with, we're praying for, and we're fasting with them, that they would turn from their wicked ways of thinking, because their mind is subdued under a stronghold thinking that what they do is right. And now we're living in that time, the time itself, that people are going to say, hey, I don't believe what you say. Well, what makes you think that's right? Well, I have a right to do this. I have a right. You know what? You shouldn't feel that you have a right to live wickedly and think that you're going to go to heaven, because you're not. If you don't turn from your ways, you're not. You just won't. And that's a stronghold in the mind. That's a stronghold of captivity in the mind, the imagination. And the enemy uses that to distort your view. He uses those things. But one thing that I love about God, if you allow him, God will guard you. God will deliver you. He will provide that means of escape that we talked about earlier. He will reveal the schemes of the enemy. He will show you the darkness, and he will bring light to it. He will show you by way of the Holy Ghost and let you know that, hey, that's not right. That's a lie. That's manipulation. He'll show you the enemy's plots and plans, and he will direct you. But if you don't want to listen to him, that means that you're holding strong and you're subdued under a stronghold. And the thing of it is that if you find yourself in a cyclonic, demonic realm, meaning repeating the same thing over and over and over, you leave, say like you're in this relationship and it was an abusive and you left that, and you got back caught up in another one. Well, guess what? It's something in you that you didn't allow God to deliver you from. And you have to let him deliver you. Because if you don't follow the will of God, you will end up going back through that revolving door. And that's some part. The revolving door is a part of you holding strong in a demonic stronghold. Because the enemy tries to. It's almost like recycling, but you don't come out different. You come out still messed up. You go in messed up, you come out messed up. Because you're not going to go into a bad thing and come out, say like, oh, well, I'm going through, in order for a person to get off drugs, they're just going to use more drugs. And then they'll get so where they don't want to taste the drugs. And then they'll come out okay. No, you have to let God deliver you. So you're in that revolving door. I've seen it done. I've had visions of someone sitting behind a glass revolving door, and people were going in and out, and they were laughing. And every time they came out on the other side, they looked worse than they did when they went out. And then when it was recycled, they looked worse than then. And it got to a point where when they came out, they vaporized, they turned to dust, meaning they died. They didn't do this and they didn't do that. So you don't want to be a part of that. You want to be in the fortified position with God. You want to be protected from attack. You want to be in a particular place where you're defended, or where the righteousness of God is upheld, because God, the stronghold of God, what that part means is that you're in that place where a particular cause or belief is strongly defended. But then if you're in the place where Satan wants to have the stronghold of the mind, that's a place where a group having a certain view, like I believe what so-and-so said about the world. Yeah, you can do same-sex marriages. You can go out and shoot people. Everybody needs to be carrying a gun. You know, the wild, wild west. I can sin all I want to. I could be with this person, be with that person. I could live with this person and don't be married to them. God know my heart. But the point of it is that is so commonly used, but it's not so much. Yes, he does know your heart. He created you. He knows every strand, and he knows the number of the hairs up on your head. But the thing of it is, do you know his heart? Because when you know God's heart, those strongholds can be easily broken, because when you know him and you love him, gnosko him, meaning to truly know him intimately, you won't do. When I know something that my family likes or my children like, or people know that it's something I like, they know that that's what I like, but they won't bring me anything that I dislike. So if you know God's heart, you will not do anything that he didn't want you to do. You wouldn't live under and suppress a subdued stronghold of Satan, and you won't become so adamant and so involved with it or enfolded in it that to a point where you'll feel that, hey, I'm going to go ahead and I've been doing it, you know, just I've been doing this all my life. My grandmama did it. My mama did it. My auntie them did it. My uncle did it, you know. But that's a generational curse. And generational curses, if you know there's a generational curse and you continue in it, that's you holding strong. Because normally how it's supposed to work, when you become saved, it's supposed to break the curse. It's supposed to stop with you. And the thing of it is, you have to make up your mind whether you're going to continue going through the revolving door and holding strong to the stronghold, to the demonic strongholds, or if you decide to stay in a place, a particular place where God has fortified to protect you against attack. And the safest place is in his word. The safest place is in his will. The safest place is living holy. The safest place is living righteous. The safest place is in your prayer time. The safest place is pleading the blood of Jesus, telling the truth, being obedient. Those are the things that fortify that fortress, that stronghold that God wants to keep you in. Whether you're in a desert fighting a war, whether you're going through the supermarket, because you got to remember King David, God kept him hidden in different strongholds. Elijah went into a cave to hide from Jezebel. And the thing of it is, the enemy thinks that he'll have you thinking that he's protecting you, but the enemy is going to lead you into heresy and to death. And death with what Satan wants to do is eternal. And death is going to be eternal either way it go, but the resurrection in Christ Jesus is eternal. Death and sin is just that, eternal. And you have to make up your mind. You want to, why live in hell, then die and go to hell? That's how I'm going to put it. Why live in hell, then die and go to hell? Because I don't know what it's like to be a drug addict. I don't know what it's like to be so lost in the world that you're out doing things that Satan got you doing it. But I've gone through some things. I've made some bad choices. I've had some strongholds in my life. And you know how I got rid of those strongholds? I got on my knees. I prayed. I fasted. I repented. And I asked the Lord, I need you to break this off of me. And when I asked God to break it off of me, I meant what I said. Do you think the enemy just left and stayed gone? No, he visited me. He came back. He was saying, you know what? I know you made a mistake with this here, but this is what I got for you now. He'll come back 7 times stronger than before. But guess what? If you're still holding on to that stronghold, he's going to get you. But if you didn't shut the door and not worried about it and allow God to fortify who you are in him to protect you and to set you firmly in a position that when he come back, you're just looking at him. You will resist the enemy and he'll flee because he ain't got nothing. He don't have anything to talk about. You can tell me all the sweet nothings you want to, but, bro, if I see what you're doing and God show me who you are, I'm not responding. I don't have time. You know why I don't have time? Because the times we living in now, you got COVID. You got COVID part two. You got the strain. You got the variant. You got these people who don't want to do this. You got homeless people that's going through. You got all of these strongholds that are building, and they're building brick by brick, and they're coming in the realm of the spirit and the realm of the flesh. But the thing of it is, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we're fighting it in the flesh and blood. We're fighting with them. We need to do this, and we need to do that. But nobody is turning from their wicked ways, Bishop. They're not praying. They're not fasting. They're not seeking God. They're not humbling themselves because they are holding strong to the world, Bishop. They want to hold strong because they feel like this thing feels better than being protected, because we can protect ourselves. We got our politicians. It's like the people of Israel when they wanted a king instead of wanting God. So now they want the stronghold of Satan of the world and of the mind, because the mind is the thing that keeps it locked in, because whoever has your mind has you. If Satan got your mind, the stronghold is in you. And until that mindset changes, you won't be ye transformed. Until that mindset comes those under subjection to God, you still got a stronghold, but you're participating in a stronghold because you want to hold strong. You keep going back to that very thing that God delivered you from, but guess what? That's like a dog returning to his own vomit. You lapping it up, but then you run to somebody else. You want to run to God when you're sick from eating all that bad stuff, from lapping up what he spewed out of you, but you want God to do this only on your terms. It cannot be on your terms. If you want strongholds gone, if you don't want to be suppressed by the strongholds of the world, if you don't want to be suppressed by Satan and his stronghold, but with the mind games, with the heresies, with the lies, the deceit, the deception, the darkness, the schemes, the witchcraft, the occult things, the drugs, the shooting, the killing, all of those spirits, that spirit of Cain, the spirit of Herod, the spirit of Sanballat and Tobiah, those are strongholds. Those are demonic strongholds. They're territorial strongholds. They can reign in a city. They can reign in government. You can tell that there's a murderous spirit of Cain in law enforcement. That's what it is. But until we cast down those things, until we pull down those things, until we get God and ask God to help the people with their mindset, how do God help people with the mindset? You become an example of what a person do when they're operating with the right mindset. You can't go around talking crazy and cussing people out and doing this, that, and other and say you saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled because you're lying. And that's a stronghold. That's a stronghold of deception right there. You can't do all of these things and expect people to change. You have to be the change. Until you become the change, you won't see the change. Until you sit there and do exactly what God asks you to do, then you're going to just keep holding on to the things that you're familiar with. Some people like the familiar things because they don't want to sit and say, well, you know what? That's the unknown. But guess what? When God asked the disciples to launch out into the deep, they went out to the unknown. When he said, let down your net for a catch, they went deeper than what folks were supposed to and pulled out what God wanted them to pull out. You got to make up your mind if you're going to launch out the strongholds of Satan. Your mind has to be renewed. There has to be some things that you have to do, and one of them is praying. One the first one is repenting, turning from your wicked ways. You have to repent, and you have to acknowledge that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You have to come to God. You have to know who he is, and you have to seek him. Guess what? When you look for him, you're going to find him. When you knock on the door, he's going to answer. And the thing of it is, people won't even do that. They rather look it up. They rather look for things and drugs and violence or whatever, whatever. You know, there are so many lost people in this world, and we have to stand up on the walls. We have to get out in the world and do the things that God has called us to do. It's not just behind, if there are any pastors on this line, it has in the studio tonight, it won't all happen from you preaching behind that pulpit. We got to get in the trenches. We have to do what we got to do. There are strongholds. God says in this verse right here in 2 Corinthians, and verse 4, he said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I said pulling down and pulling them out. You have to go in and pull out the people. You have to let them see, but you have to be an example of what deliverance from an ungodly stronghold is. You have to be a light to the example of how God can break you holding strong to a demonic stronghold. And you have to be the one to say, hey, there is safety with God, because the strongholds that he fortifies and builds, that it protects you against attacks. I'm not saying that the attacks won't come, because, you know, in Isaiah, it says that in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed. So it's letting you know that it's going to form, but it's telling you that it does not prosper. And I'm going to close with this tonight. You have to make up your mind if you're going to dwell within the strongholds, meaning the protection and the will of God, or you're going to be suppressed or oppressed by the strongholds of the demonic realm and Satan. And you have to make sure that if you're going to do that, if you choose that, which I pray you don't, if you choose that, you'll end up holding strong, and Satan has you. And it will only take God Almighty to deliver you. So today, I would choose ye this day, because tomorrow is not promised. And I'm going to ask you, just like the man of God, when Joshua said, how long will you be caught between two opinions? The stronghold of God, or you holding strong to Satan? Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. What a powerful teaching we have heard on tonight. Now, my brothers and sisters, if you are sitting in the studio right now and you have a question or comment, if you would kindly press your 1 on your keypad, that will alert me that you would like to join this conversation. I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. If you are in either of the 3 chat rooms and you have a comment, you can now type that comment and I will relay it to Apostle Jay Leon. If you are a GAP stander and you are in the house and you would like to have a word, kindly press your 1. Hallelujah, and we will bring you right on into the discussion. So, who is going to jump right on in here tonight? Elder Leola, what do you have any comments for tonight?
Hello?
Anyone?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
My Lord.
Okay.
Okay.
That was a very good word, Bishop. Holding strong and stronghold. To know the difference between holding strong and the stronghold was powerful. It's something that I never thought of that way. So it was a very good message, and I really enjoyed it. Waiting
Amen.
On the series.
Amen, amen. I know I enjoyed it because, you know, so many of us Christians today, we're not walking in our full purpose because we are holding on to our demonic stronghold instead of staying put in God's stronghold. And I just want you to know that you will never walk into your full potential. You will never walk in your full purpose. You will never walk in your limitless potential until you let go of those strongholds, until you pull those things down. You can't mount up on the wings and eagles if you're weighed down by your strongholds.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm just praying that people will understand that when God gives us a word, we have to do the whole word. You came from 2 Chronicles 7, 14, 13 through 16, and the thing of it is that, you know, people say, oh, yeah, well, I'm a child of God, and I'm praying, but you're not turning from your wicked ways.
Mm, right there.
Or you say, I'm a Christian. And you know, I'm trying to do some things better. But you looked to get your counsel from the news instead of from the Word of God. So we have to do the whole Word. You see what I'm saying? We have to pray.
Man.
We have to turn from our wicked ways. We have to constantly seek his face, his counsel.
Mm-hmm. And, you know,
we can't pray and then remain in the sin that we're in, or we can't be always running to the Lord saying, oh, Lord, Lord, show me. And then when he shows us, we go, oh, okay, I don't like that answer.
Are you going to, like what you just said right there, Bishop, I don't like that answer. So that's what caused them to go back through their revolving door again, because they're looking for a different answer. And they're going to come for the same result. It's going to end up with the same result. And that's where you're holding strong right there. Because with what we're dealing with, you know, people just say, if my people. But if you go above that verse right there, he said that he will send pestilence into the land. And we got COVID. And that now we got COVID part two. They call it the strain, but I call it COVID part two. You know why? Because they didn't do what God wanted us to do in the first place.
Nope, we
had those strongholds. We holding strong because we want to be social. We want to. We can't stop gathering.
Right,
we
got
to go to the football game. We got to go do this. He even closed the churches. That showed you how God wanted us to do what he wants us to do to prepare us for the second coming of Christ. The thing of it is, if people would look in the word and get prepared like what you just said, they don't like the answer. That's it, Bishop, right there.
No.
They don't like the answer.
Look, we got Christians boycotting God. How about that? You know.
What you said right there.
We got people, we got Christians boycotting God. If I don't get what I want, or you're not taking care of me the way I want to, or I'm not big as so-and-so and so-and-so, you know what I mean? Then I just won't do what you say.
And I just won't come. But the thing of it is
I'm not coming.
People won't. And that's them holding strong in a demonic stronghold.
Yeah.
Because they want a thing more than they want God. They want
God,
the Creator. I've seen so many people of God that every time they're on my page, and I'm not judging, but it's about pictures of them. And it's not about people saving people. It's not about us coming together for a worldwide fast or a worldwide revival to get rid of this pestilence. Because he said if they turn from their wicked ways, And if we humble ourselves, you know why they're not humbling themselves? Because they too busy opposing what they're going to preach in on Sunday.
They too busy competing.
They
too busy one-upping each other.
People, what you just said right there, I have seen it, and it grieves me how I see people, instead of the body of Christ, the churches, I'm going to put it like that, the body of the church coming together and working together, they're competing. Oh, that church don't have nothing over there for me. That's a white church. I ain't gonna get it. It ain't got nothing to do with your color. It has nothing to do with the size of the church. Thank you.
Girl, honey. Wait a minute. How about this one? This is what I'm looking at here where I'm at. You got all these churches. Each of the churches have probably 5 members. 5. Not 55, not 550, but 5. Now, I'm thinking to myself, now, you know, the Lord, although he individually gifts us and uniquely gifts us and purposed us, but he still wants his people to work in synergy, which means he wants them to work together. We get much more done together than we do apart. Yes. So he wants us to work together. But no, they don't want to work together. Why? Because of their pride. Oh, no. I'm not going to go over there and fellowship with that church. Oh, no, I'm not giving them my control. You got control over what? 5 people and 4 of them is your own family members? Come on now. How is that glorifying God?
That's right.
Come on now.
And the thing of it is that I agree with you 100% on that one because you just hit something. You got so many people that are stuck in, you know, tradition is a stronghold.
Tradition.
Mm-hmm. And some people will hold strong to tradition. Well, my grandma and them did it like this here.
Yeah.
I don't want to listen to that music because that's that white church music. I listen to anything and everything.
I listen to everything I want
to. God, when I feel the Holy Ghost in it, I'm going in with it.
I'm going in with it.
Amen. I don't care. It could be Stephen Frederick with Elevation, or it could be Kirk Franklin. I'll be listening for God.
I don't care. Give me some elderly worship. Yeah, give me some elder worship. I don't care. It could be the Gaithers. I don't care. If they talking about Jesus and it's hitting my spirit, I'm going to be praising God.
I have seen people's delivered with that.
Exactly, but you know what? I'm tired. People got these strongholds. We are black people. We're supposed to have a black church. No, we don't. We're God's people. We're supposed to just be the church. Black, white, red, yellow, brown, it don't make no difference. We're supposed to be one. We are one
body in Christ. But no, we don't want to, we want to stay in that stronghold of pride, and we want to stay in that stronghold of selfishness. You cannot lead anybody if you're not going to follow Jesus, if you're not going to conduct yourself the way he has called us to conduct ourselves. If we weren't so busy looking at each other instead of trying to reach the lost, you know, we would be a lot further along in our process. Because, but now, instead of out here really trying to reach the lost, or it's just like with I love you, Jay Leon, and you know this apostle, but any when you come on, you say, well, and you cover this ministry. Yes, but I'm supposed to. Ministries are supposed to come along beside other ministries
and link
join
up
together and do the work of the kingdom
of the Lord.
Because me helping you takes absolutely nothing away from me, and vice versa. We got the same purpose. We're working toward the same goal. We're trying to get folks to know Jesus.
Yes.
You know, we're not up in here talking about where. Go ahead, sister.
No, go ahead and say that, because I think you're saying what I was about to say.
You know, how can we sit up and talk about we're one body in Christ and we're a part of God's family when we're in fight? How you going to sit up in God's family and in fight?
So it's like a body. So picture this. Your body, and you're walking, but you will only let your left hand do what things on the left, and on the right hand can do what's on the right. But, you know, I could reach over to my left side with my right hand and grab something and make it work. You know, I could take my left foot and step out first before I can take my right foot. I could do it either way, but I'm working together. And the body is designed to work together. Because if I stump my toe, I hurt my toe, but my whole body going to feel it.
And that's what people have to get. Go ahead, sis.
And they have to want it. A lot of people want. That's how you have the strongholds holding. That's how you're holding strong. If the stronghold is there and you've been in it so long, you become, you know, it's no longer.
You get complacent.
You hold strong. Yeah,
you get complacent.
Strong. You don't want to come up out of it. Some people
sit
in the dark. I'm telling you, I knew somebody. And somebody would tell me, they said every time this particular person would go through something, they would find them sitting in a dark room and saying, what is my purpose? What you mean, what is your purpose? Why you got to sit in a dark room? Because they like the darkness. Because the darkness they can stay doing what they want to do and stay hidden in the darkness. But that's deception on Satan's part. Satan has them deceived, because if you think that you can sit in a dark room and still do what you got to do, and God don't see you, and God won't reveal you, because see, what's in the dark comes to light.
To
everything,
to the light,
there's a time and a purpose. If it's in darkness, guess what? Light is going to come to it, because there's a dedicated time.
Yeah.
And I tell people that. And I got a situation now where somebody is returning to Egypt. And I keep praying. And you know what I said? I'm going to have to leave this in God's hand. I've done some plant, some water, but God give the increase. But you decide to go back to Egypt. If you like the taskmasters, if you like what Pharaoh is doing to you, if you like that thing that much, it's going to have to take God. And I do know God is faithful. He is faithful to all of us. You know how I know? Because he sent his only son to pull us out of sin. So if he sent Jesus to pull us out of sin, he's going to send you an opening. He's going to send you a means of escape. But our vain imaginations, our mindset has to be like what it says on Spirit Alive. It says, you know, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you have to have that renewed mind. You have to pull it. Not only are you pulling down stronghold, but you got to pull down wicked and vain imagination, because we're not fighting a fleshly thing. The enemy uses our mind spiritually.
And I want to, and the other stronghold that is just as big as people choosing to sit in darkness is the spirit of procrastination. You know, if the enemy can keep us stuck in that stronghold of fear, if he can keep us with that weight of doubt, discouragement, depression around our neck, if he can keep us weighted down with low self-esteem and insecurity, then we will procrastinate. We will, oh, no, God is talking to us, telling us to do something. Oh, no. Now, this is the whole, and this is all the while we are saying, yes, God, I'm praying, I'm seeking your face, and I'm steady turning from my wicked ways. Now, he's talking, but we're still procrastinating. Yeah, well, God, you know, I'm gonna. Well, you know, if Pastor says something about it, then I know that's a sign. Or if somebody else said, no, see, that's what the devil wants you to do. He's a time bandit. He wants us to run out of time. He wants us not to get our work done. He wants God to come back, and we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing.
And
so when you sit around holding on to your strongholds, stuck on stupid, sitting on silly, waiting on dumb, or crazy on speed dial, you have nobody to blame but you.
Amen. What did Joshua say? How long will you be caught between
How long? I'm going to ask like Jesus. Don't you want to be healed?
Yes.
Do you want to be
when
healed?
When he healed people, he asked them, he said, do you choose to be healed?
So yeah, don't you want to be healed?
And don't you want to come out from under the stronghold? Do you not want to go back through that revolving door? Do you want to stay out of Egypt, come out of Egypt and stay out? Do you want to look back like Lot's wife?
Yeah, and you know what? Some people, what they, you know, they wanna, you know, like I said, they want to grumble and complain and moan and groan and, well, God, you know, I don't see the point. You ain't remembering the word because the word says his ways are not like our ways.
Yeah.
Okay.
All you gotta do is trust
it don't matter about you being able to see the point. It's about you trusting what God is saying to you. It's about you letting go of the crap you need to let go of and picking up the things you need to be picking up so you can walk in your abundant life and live out your full purpose in Christ.
Right there.
Because
right there what you just said, abundant life. A lot of people think the abundant life is based on things, money. They think it's based on notoriety. But the abundant life is living a fulfilled life, a fulfilled purpose with God.
Oh, and the other problem.
Healing his work and pleasing him.
And the other problem people have about an abundant thinking, they're thinking about the misconception they have about an abundant life. They thinking we're going to get that when we get to heaven. Baby, don't know. The abundant life is for right now. It's for
right
now. You know, but too many people are operating like they're waiting for the abundant life once they get to the kingdom. God said, Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundant. When we up there with him, you know, when we up there with him, everything is abundant, okay? So he wasn't talking about when
we
get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to have it right now. What will be loosed up in heaven can be loosed right down here.
Loosed in earth. Yes, right. But you know that's tradition. That's tradition.
That's
teaching us that we can only have it when we get to heaven. That's
right. So you know, but people just don't understand. You know, they don't understand. We are at war. This is a war. Every morning that we get up, we have to know. We have to armor up. We have to pray. We have to examine ourselves daily. You know what I'm saying? We need to repent when we need to be repenting.
Daily,
you know, that ain't something you do every once in a while. No, I know. Because, see, I tell people, if I didn't say it, I thought it. If I didn't think
you thought it, you still got to repent from it.
And so even if I thought it, I'm already guilty. So I know, you know, I just get on up, and every morning I ask God to allow his Holy Spirit to stand up in me in a way that everybody will know I'm his disciple. Because, see, if Shirlene stand up in herself, some people will be having some bad days, okay, I love my God. I love my God, and I refuse to be a slave to fear. I refuse to be a slave to strongholds. I'm standing in the stronghold of the Lord. I am safe in his arms. What can man do unto me? Nothing. What do I lack standing in Christ? Nothing. When am I ever going to be alone as long as I'm in Christ? Never. When has my God lost anything? Never. He always wins.
And that's
he always wins.
Don't you know that's something that has been proven time and time and time
again? He always wins. Oh, Lord.
He never fails.
I know that's right. Well, let me get Holiday or some of these other folks up in here. I see Holiday up in here. Let me see if she has a word for us. Sister Holiday, come on up in the room. Now, I know I saw Sister Holiday. Oh, well. Oh, yep, probably. But that's all right. Okay, well, let me go on to, here we go. All right, 360. 1781, come on in the room, beloved.
Yes, ma'am. This is Tracy. How y'all ladies doing tonight? I hope you're
doing well. Hey, Tracy, how you doing, Brenda?
I'm well. Thank you so much, Miss Leola, for the reminder. It helped. Anyways, I think this is a very timely word. You know, Sister Jay, I think you're right. The time that we're living in is just unbelievable. Every time I turn a corner, it seems like people, whether they're of the faith or just the average day, so much is just going on in everybody's family. It's like we're getting hammered left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And so certainly that praying that armor of God is so very important. I see it in my own family. I'm dealing with it even just with some of my friends. A good friend of mine and I had a catch-up session for 3 hours last night. And we're talking about her sister's situation, which is a girl I grew up with. And as we started to talk about all the things that she's been going through and these difficult relationships and abusive relationships, and the comment I made was, you know, I think she's been in it for so long in this,
she don't know
this terrible of life that
she don't
know.
She's holding strong to it.
She doesn't know how to come out of it. She don't know how to get
out
of it. I'm dealing with the same thing with my sister-in-law. I just was telling her, it's like, you know, we're dealing with some things with my brother, and he's in a coma, and it's been a really bad situation for her. And I keep telling her, she's like, and our young Christians, you know, they like to fleece God a little bit, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I know we all can be very
That's
tempted
good, right
to do
there.
That. God, let you know, get me out of this situation, and I'll give you my life. And I keep telling her, it's
come
like,
on,
you
man,
know,
Barney.
That's good, but, you know, we don't – what you need to be telling God is, I'm going to serve you whether my family serves you or not.
Or not.
Amen.
Yes.
Come on, Tracy.
You got to come to a place where you say, I'm responsible for me.
For me.
And I think that's
yes.
part of the problem with our younger ones in talking about repentance. They don't get it because they want to say, oh, it's so-and-so's fault. It's somebody else's fault. As
mm-hmm.
opposed to looking at the person in the mirror and saying, who do I need to be worried about? I don't need to be worried about everybody around me. I need to be worried about me. What comes out of my mouth? What comes out of my heart?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's good. That is so good. Oh, wait, that was good. That gave me Holy Ghost goosebumps. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Sister Tracy.
Oh,
thank you. Well, you know what I think we need? That was real good. I just feel led to pray. I really do. I really do.
Amen. Let's go.
We just need to pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace as a united front, Father God. We come on with one heart set, one mindset, on one accord. Lord God, we come praying for all of our brothers and sisters who are struggling with demonic strongholds, Lord. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that they would allow you to speak directly to their hearts and pour into their spirit. We pray, Father God, that they would look to the hills from which cometh their help. Father, we pray for our young ones, Lord. We pray that you would surround them with Holy Ghost bold Christians, Lord, that can walk with them and pour into them and treat them as the precious, hallelujah, up-and-coming saints that they are and not just pet projects. Lord, I pray for all of my sisters out there, hallelujah, that are being broken down and beaten down in their spirit by bad relationships. Father, I pray that they would come to understand that you have fearfully and wonderfully made them. You did not create them, hallelujah, to be a punching bag. Lord, you didn't create them to be an emotional punching bag, a spiritual punching bag, or a physical punching bag. Lord, you created them to be your daughters. Father, I pray that you would give them the strength to come up out of whatever they need to come up out of, Lord. I pray that they would allow you to lift their head, Father God, and your Holy Spirit to step into them in a way that they would stand up and say, enough is enough. I am not going to put up with Satan and his tactics anymore. I pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Ghost, that you would move in the hearts and minds of your people. Father God, I pray that they would begin to truly pray, begin to truly seek your face in all things, and not just when it's comfortable, not just when they think they're going to like the answer, but they're going to seek your face in all things and at all times. And Father, we are going to continually examine ourselves to make sure that we are in a right standing with you, that we are your righteousness, that we are walking in holiness, that we are being a living example of your love and your attributes, Father God. Father, I pray for those who are broken down so low that they don't think there's any hope. But Lord, we know that in you there is hope. You are our hope. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Father God, continue to pour into these beautiful servant leaders, each and every one of them. Bless Holiday. Bless Elder Leola. Bless Apostle J. Leon. Bless Minister Tracy. Bless, hallelujah, each and every person listening tonight. Touch their hearts, Lord. Empower them. Endow them. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and help them to realize their God-given purpose. Let them not look to the right or to the left, but look straight to you, Father. Look to the cross, Father, in all that they do. May their minds be renewed by your holy word. May their joy be fulfilled so that they can be strengthened to do the work of the kingdom. May they receive your peace that surpasses all understanding. And, Lord, may the fruit of your spirit rest, rule, and abide in us greatly. Because, Father, all we want, it's for somebody that doesn't know you and the pardon of their sin to come to you and ask you to be their Lord and Savior. And, Father, I'm thanking you right now for the seven that came to you on tonight. Lord, I'm thanking you right now for the seven that changed their eternal address. I'm thanking you right now, Father God, for the seven that are saying to you right now, I want to live for you. I want to give my life to you. So I thank you, Lord. I pray that they will get into a Christ-centered church, Father God. I pray that they will get into Bible studies. I pray that they will study to show themselves approved, Father God. I pray that you would not allow the enemy to snatch the seed of faith before they have time to take root and sprout, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for our listeners all over the world. We bless our new listeners in Brazil. Thank you for the new listeners in Germany. Father, we thank you for our new listeners in Nepal. Thank you for our new listeners in the Holy Land, Father God. We just thank you that you're sending us out all over the world, God, and we just pray that your people are blessed as we glorify you. It is in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. I do pray it all. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, saints.
Bless God. Bless God. Seven came to the Lord. Amen.
Yes. 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 See, why you, what you ladies know, what a lot of people don't understand is while all of you are you're teaching and talking, I am sitting here and I am dealing with three different chat rooms. And we had, they just wanted to need to know. Some people, they don't want people to make a big fuss about it or, you know, or anything, but I had seven.
Amen. Praise
they
God.
Want to bring down strongholds. So that's totally
that's
awesome.
So
I'm totally happy.
Hallelujah.
I'm totally blessed by that. And that's what I love about what we do here. People get saved right on the air. People come to the Lord. People even join this ministry because I tell them there is no, you know, joining this ministry. You just show up and you are a part of this ministry because I love all of God's people. And as long as you
Amen.
Love the Lord and you're about God's business, I will listen to you. Now, I have no desire to promote self agendas. But I'm going to promote
mm-hmm.
God's agenda and God's people all day.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know, so I praise God for this wonderful lesson. I praise God. Thank the Lord for the message and the messenger. I thank the Lord for everyone who spoke. All of you that are in here listening to the seven, God bless you. We will continue to, I will continue
thank
to keep you
God.
Lifted up. And I will do a follow-up with you about your new converts class because I do teach new converts classes on video
mm-hmm.
chat during the week on Thursday mornings and Saturday mornings. So I will be dealing with them later in the week. So I just want you beautiful ladies to know I love you. God bless you. And to all of our listeners, we want to thank you for listening. And we're so glad that you received something that blessed your soul. We pray that you continue to walk with us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Hallelujah. And we pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from all of us here at the Spirit Alive household of faith to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, everyone. God bless you. Good night, everyone.
Good night. God bless. Love you all.
God bless you.
Good
love
night.
You. Love you, Tracy. Bye.
Good night, Joe.